It is Friday, Erev Shabbos, HaGadol, Tavshin, Pei Dalet. We're going to end the week with thoughts on the Haggadah. Okay. You know, it's been said that the last Yom Tov, or even otherwise alienated Jews, have a shaychus to is Pesach. You know, on some level, you have Jews that don't do anything, but somehow, on some level, so many people that aren't engaged in any other Yom Tov will do some semblance of a Pesach Seder. They're going to come together, whether it's a halachically correct Seder or not, but they're going to have something. Pesach is that time where Jews... Growing up in Memphis, I don't know, maybe it was a cultural thing there, but I always noticed as a kid that I saw Yidden that came to shul Erev Pesach that I never saw the rest of the year, and they only came for one reason, for the Siyum. For somehow, this Siyum, that a Bchor needs to hear a Siyum or else they're going to fast Erev Kiddush. I don't even know what they understood, why they're coming. But this they had from their parents, from their grandparents, you know, that you, if you're a Bechor, if you're firstborn, you come to Shul Erev Pesach. I don't know if it was like that in St. Louis, but in my Shul of Memphis, there were Yidden that who is that? Oh, he's came for the Siyum. So there's something about Pesach that stuck with Klal Yisrael. So like maybe to explore that a little bit. I heard a wonderful talk given by Reb Nata Schiller, Shlita, from Or Sameach. He had a way with bringing things around. But let's start with the number four. Four is the prominent number of the Seder. So you have like this. You have the four Lashonos of Geula, the four languages that we spoke about the last couple of days. You have the four questions, the Manish Tana. You have the four sons. You have the four cups of wine. You know, the fifth cup notwithstanding, David, but, you know, four cups of wine. And the fact that you have a fifth cup is not going to disturb this vart, okay? So what's the inyan of the four cups? So it might be somewhat drushy, but I really think that there's something profound here. And that is as follows. What is four in Klal Yisrael? Arba Imo is four matriarchs, right? And you have the Shalosh Avos. You know, you ever go to a shul out of town where they allow themselves to write codes, remes to what code you're going to use here, and they're good if you don't know the code, you could stand out there until Ibermorgen. But in most of the shuls that I've been to, there'll be Avos, Imahos, you'll know three or four, right? Everybody knows Avos, Imahos. So what's the idiom of the four mothers? So he Pusik says, Shma b'nei Musar Avicha, right? Listen to me, the Musar Avicha. Va'altitosh, and do not abandon Torah Simecha. Now listen to the difference between Shema B'nai. Listen to the Musar of your fathers. That means listen to it actively. Bring it in. Admit it in to your life. Shema B'nai Musar Avicha. But Torah Simecha is already there. Va'altitosh, don't abandon it. Don't abandon what's already there. When you talk about abandoning something, it means you already have it, and don't let it go. But you don't have to introduce it into yourself. That which we get from the avos has to be introduced, and that which we have from the mothers is innately there. Okay, that's what we know. A person that's born of a goyish father and a Jewish mother, right? That person is Jewish. That's they are in Jewish. That's innate. The mother. What is the word for language for nation in Hebrew? Uma is aim. What makes a person part of Klal Yisrael is the aim, right? You also know that another word for womb in Hebrew is the aim, right? The Gemara tells us aim, right? So that's the mother, right? That's who the person is. Now, there's something interesting over here that this is really what stays with the Yid. There's certain underpinnings of who their neshama is and what they're all about. So that comes really from the aim. It's already there. You just have to not abandon it. Now, there's a pasuk we have, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chaf Hey. V'haya Kisevo El Aretz. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk afterwards. After you enter Eretz Yisrael, V'chav Vav. V'haya Ki Yemru Aleichem B'neichem. When your sons will says, Ma Havod Azos Lechem. What is this avodah for you? Now, does that ring a bell? Who is credited with this pasuk? The Rasha, right? And the Rasha, because the Rasha says ma'avod v'amartem, and you'll answer zevach pesach ul Hashem. It's a korban pesach that Hashem he passed over the houses of the Yidden, and he smote the houses of the Egyptians. So then vayikaru am v'yishtachavu, the nation bowed down. All right, and they prostrated themselves and they bowed down in thanks. Well, now, what does this mean? It says Rashi, "Vayikar al b'suras ha-geula." They bowed down because of the good news that the geula would come. Ubiyas ha-aretz, and that they would enter Eretz Israel. Ubesuras ha-banim shi'ulahem, and the fact that they would have children. So the Mefarshim ask a question that this sign of Hodah, of giving thanks to Hashem for all the good news, we'll have a Geula, we'll go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll be prosperous in children, and so on and so forth. Doesn't it seem a little strange that that is said in conjunction, and that it was prompted by the Ben Harosha? It was prompted by the Ben Harosha, after all. So the Chidah says that the key word is v'hayu ki yomer aleichem. Now, a person could be a Rasha, he could act as a Rasha, he could espouse all kinds of views and deus that are, and they're antithetical to Torah, but the question is, does he really believe that deep in his psyche? Is that what he's all about, or is he only repeating things that he hears from the society around him? You know, there's so many people that don't even... just think for a second. All of these anti-Israel protesters and stop the genocide, they don't even know what they're talking about. All right? They don't even know the history of Israel. They have no idea that if they would just sit and listen, right, with an open... But the thing is, their anti-Semitism is so strong that they want to believe anything that they hear. So they're only parroting over the words that they're listening to. We know that. It's maddening. It's just so. Sometimes you have a person that his tocho, his inner pnim, is really not rotten at all, but he's so influenced, he's just repeating things that he hears. Is that of a story that there was a professor that was invited to speak to an elderly group of people? I think they may have been even in a nursing home, I'm not sure. And he spoke of whatever the topic was, and some old resident says, he says, "Professor, that was absolutely the worst speech I ever heard in my whole life. Worst speech I ever heard." All right. So what is he supposed to say? So another resident says to the professor, "Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just saying over everything that he heard from everybody else." So, in other words, you know, pay no attention, right? In other words, sometimes we just parrot over things, and it's not really who we're part of. Says the Chidah that's the good news. The good news is that we're able to identify that the Russia in Klal Yisrael. Now, yeah. Are there emes of Rishayim here and there? Sometimes a person is a kofar, sometimes a person is a real apostate, knows the Torah, neskav and limrabo. You know, in order to be an apikoros, you know, you have to know what you're rejecting. You know that. You know the story about the town apikoros. He comes from a little shtut, and every town had their known apikoros, and he goes into the. Jonathan knows this. I've been saying this over for years. And he goes into the big town. He goes into Vilna, and he says, he goes into the movie house. What are you looking for? The Shtut Apikoris. He's not here. He goes into the gymnasium. Where is he? No, he's not here. And he goes to the town square. He says, "Can you tell me where is this town Apikoris? The town Apikoris? What are you looking here? He's in the base Medrash." And he goes in, and people are learning. He says, "Where's the Shtut Apikoris?" He's right there. And the guy's got a pile of Gemaras and Rambams, and he's like this and this and this. He says, "Excuse me, are you the Shtut Apikoris?" He says, "Yes, and I'm proud of it." He says, "So what are you doing in the base Medrash? I'm the Shtut Apikoris in Huppensville, and I ever saw." He says, "You're an Apikoris, you're an Amoritz. You're not an Apikoris. To be an Apikoris, you have to know something." He's says, I'm a bona fide apikoros. He says, those are the kinds of yidden that we're not talking about. Your sons will yomru. They'll just say what they're hearing on the street. You know, this is all kinds of deus that they're picking up from their friends, picking up that, Israel's doing genocide. They don't know what they're talking about, but this is what they're picking up. That's what the Russia is. Says the Chida, that's why here, it's Vayikan Rishtachavu, because we don't despair. We understand that if we get through that veneer, we get through that layer, we can pull them back. Just given the chance. Not that it's easy, but you have to sit them down. They have to give you the time. You have to be able to engage them. We have to know what to tell them, right? And that's why we're engaging the children at the night of the Seder. There's a fascinating Meshech Chochma here on Parshas Bo, right on that pasuk, Yud Beis Chav Zion. Here, I have it checked off here. Rashi says, you should know that there are two kinds of Rishayim. There's a Rasha that comes from poverty, that things are so poor, that he's so poor that he just turns away from Yiddishkeit. And there's a Rasha, he's turning away from Yiddishkeit out of affluence. Says the Meshech Chochma something interesting. He says, a person that out of affluence wants to just join the society around him, and he really, Torah is not important to him anymore, and he wants to join the Goyisha, what do you call those clubs?
Country clubs,
right? And he wants to be part of that. It's like Rabbi Mitzvah, that you knew that way too quickly. The country club. And he wants to join the Geisha society, and he wants to be welcomed, you know. And time for another joke, maybe? The Yidl and his wife, they were so poor. Mom is very poor. And they finally made money. And then they started to mingle. The Yidl from Europe, and they were invited to cocktail parties, And they're mingling and they're holding champagne and the women are classy and there's Chopin playing in the background and one of them says, what do you say about the music? So she's Chopin, it's beautiful. So the other lady says, I prefer Mozart. So the Yiddish lady says, Mozart? Just so happens I saw him on the 5 bus on the way to the beach. Everybody just didn't want to ruin a nice evening. They didn't say anything. They get into the car at the end of the evening. The husband says, you dummy, you had to open up your fat mouth. You had to embarrass yourself and myself. Everybody knows that the 5 bus don't go to the beach. Right? So this is out of affluence. That's what reminded me of that one. So Mamela, he says, that's once the affluence wears off, it's possible to get him back to Yiddishkeit because he didn't lose it integrally. The pshat is that because he was making money, he wanted to be comfortable, but it doesn't make a very strong imprint on him. He says, a person says in Meshech Chochma, the harosh mitoch eini ein lo takana. And this is really what was happening. The im ma'achmas yoni yichpar ba'ashkocha, if because of his poverty he denied Hashkocha of Hashem, this is what God is all about, this is what the Torah is all about, and I can't afford to feed my family and I'm so downtrodden, he says then there's very, very little hope for him to come back. Because then the Jewish imagination and the Jewish intellect will turn to other forms of satisfaction, will turn to communism and socialism and Bundism, and all the isms that took over Europe at that time. This is one paragraph here in the Meshech Chochma. He says, "V'hoya kiyom ralechem," says the Meshech Chochma. Why? Because if a person denies through wealth, that's vayishman yushurim vayiva. It means he became fat and kicked. But once the wealth goes away, he'll regain his senses. But once he has cleared his slate from Torah Yerushalayim because of Aini, then other foreign deos occupy him. They fill that vacuum. And so says the Meshech Chochma over here, the Russia is asking the question, Ma'avod Ezos Lechem, but this Russia is a Russia that we're talking about because he's satiated, because he's full, because he's, and that's why he turns to the new world. But there's a way to get him back, and that is the Besura Tova. That's why the Besura Tova is said in conjunction with the that's really what the Oni is all about. But the innate, because that's again, because the matriarchal dimension, right, of the Yid, right, that's what really keeps him going through thick and thin, through all the generations that otherwise he's sloughed off from Yiddishkeit. That's the aim. That's Al Titosh Tarisi Mecha. It says, Yirmiyahu Anabi says, and we say in Eicha, Yisaimim Hayinu, we were orphans, ve'ein of, and we had no father. What's the obvious diak here? We didn't have a father, but what? We do have a mother, but he's called Yesomim. But that means he's a Yesomim. He acts like he's estranged from Yiddishkeit. He has no father, but he still always has that mother. He always has that internal, that sense of a Yid. If you go enough layers deep, yeah, he could eat tarfis all year long. But he's going to come to hear that Seder Erev Pesach. He's going to hear that Siyam Tanis Bechoris. So that's really what we're talking about. And this is what you have also. You have... when the She'eno Yodea Lishol doesn't know when to ask a question, so what does it say? What's your response? It says, Va'at Psachloi, and you open him up and you tell him all the halachas. And the question is, what does it mean, Va'at, in Lashon Nekeva? Right? So the Chiddush says that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ve'im Kocha At Osali, when Klai Yisrael were sinning, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you do this to me, Hashem, and he says, At, not Atah. So Rashi says, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Klai Yisrael, they fell from their Madrega, and they were complaining. So Toshish Kocha, Moshe Rabbeinu got weak, like in a keva, like an At, like a woman. That's why, but Chiddush says here also the same thing. When a person sees his son as Ein Yodea Lishol, it weakens a person. Va'at psachlo, you know, you're weak like a... But you say a different pshat. Va'at psachlo, if you see that the son is Ein Yodea Lishol, so drive yourself into the matriarchal mode. Va'at psachlo, be the appeal to the matriarch, appeal to that concept that we're talking about, that he's in, that he has a innate connection to Yiddishkeit, and even if he doesn't know how to express it, he doesn't know how to act to it, but relate to that and know that that's true. So the Gemara says in the Dorim, Ein Ani and Ela Ani Bedas. When we say poverty, it's talking about poverty of knowledge, of intellect, of Torah. Right? That's what a person, if a person doesn't has no knowledge and he's ignorant, that's when a person is an Ani. Okay, so we would think when we learn that Gemara that the word ani means economic deprivation, and it's borrowed to refer to someone who's lacking any Torah knowledge. The Marsha there says that's not the case. He says the real ani is an ani badas. That's what the Gemara means. Ani is an ani badas. Except that when a person is impoverished, right, there it's lent to the person who is poor economically, because the Ebenezer says, if you remember that when Moshe Rabbeinu said Hashem is going to redeem you, v'lo shema el Moshe, they didn't listen to Moshe. Why? Mikoytzer ruach me'avodah kosher. They were so downtrodden. They were so beaten down. There was such anius, means they had nothing. There was no wherewithal there. They were just lowly avadim. A person is such a lowly evan. He doesn't have the ability to use his imagination. He doesn't have the ability to think. He can't use his intellect. He's an ani. That's the pshat. Is if a person is so economically poor, right? We're talking about over here. A person lost all his money. So mamela, that's why he's an ani. Ani badas, it goes hand in hand. He doesn't have the ability to think. He's not comfortable. So this is really, if you think about it, and this is the last the thing we'll end this the day with, this year, is that, what do we say at the Seder? Kol dichven, whoever is hungry, yese ve'yechol, let him come and eat. And so why is he hungry? Because he's poor. He's an ani. But really, there's another layer here. He's ani badas. He's really an ani and das, and what we're saying is anybody who is an ani, he's impoverished. That goes hand in hand with being an ani badas. If you don't have the wherewithal, then you're not going to be able to really sit and think through things. You know, don't bother me with these old kinds of great ideals of grandeur that there's a Torah and there's a Metzias and there's ani mamins. I got to put food on my table. But he becomes an ani badas. So what we're doing at the Seder is we're bringing everybody into our Seder table. We're expanding. We said anybody who's hungry, that means they need to be filled with knowledge. We're not only going to put matzah and wine in front of you, but we're going to fill your head with the knowledge of Hashem also. And that's the ani, that's the rasha, that's the enesheidei lishol, that's the tam. And on some level, even though a chacham is a chacham, we always can always elevate the level of the chacham of our children. So we should be zeicha this year. It's Erev Shabbos. Shabbos HaGadol, we should be zecher to Geula Shlema, and to utilize the city that we have to maybe to bring these ideas out and to grow from them. Just want to say that this class will not meet anymore until after Pesach, because it's our Pesach, so Monday morning, and then over Chol HaMoed it's over Parsha, so I probably will, I mean, I'll send out an email, probably won't be the morning after Pesach, it'll be the day after Yisro Chag. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Okay. Gabriel?
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Don't forget the joke.